Aw, bye guys. All right, now that the big kids are here. Okay, I'm going to pray one more time before we begin. Lord, this morning, may we just be able to receive your word for us, and may we just be able to experience your presence. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. Well, it's been a year since I've preached in front of you because I started seminary a year ago, and I want to be able to put forth my best effort into preparing a sermon because you, the congregation, deserves my 110%. And so if this is your first time hearing me preach, it's because it's been a long time since I've really shared, at least for me it has. And so I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be here because I'm excited because I love preaching. I love preaching. So I'm going to start somewhere differently than I did in first service and second service. This is very me. So if you don't know the like craze that is taking over the world by now, I'm sure you already know. You already know what I'm going to say. Okay, good. Okay, so I have fallen victim to the craze that is Pokemon Go. Okay. And so many deep theologians and maybe many sociologists and many churches are trying to figure out why are so many people invested into this game? Like, what is behind this game that is causing people to go out? Because this is taking over, you know, the millennials, my generation, and a little bit below us, too. And so I just want to share with you a tweet from a deep theologian known as Hood Jesus. Hood Jesus tweets, Pokemon Go has more of us on the move than the Great Commission does. You want to know why? Because the secret to preaching is, the secret to preaching is, that the pastor has to study scripture and then figure out what the scriptural vision is and then communicate that to the congregation. So what Pokemon Go has done was that it has created a vision for young people to go out, right? And that's why at my local park, I would go there with my roommates maybe at midnight to play basketball, and there would be nobody there. But now I go to my local park and there's 20 young adults there at midnight. And it's amazing because Pokemon Go has created a vision that people can get behind and grab a hold of. All right. So when Pastor Jim, Pastor Nathan, Linda, or myself come up here to preach, we're attempting to communicate a scriptural vision that you, the congregation, can grab hold of. That this is the message that God wants for us, and you're going to grab hold of it, and you're going to go with it. That there are going to be more people, more churches going, not because of Pokemon Go, but because of the Great Commission. Good? All right. All right, so the theme for our church this year that we're going through is that we want to love God with everything. And so we've gone through this series. We've gone through this preaching series. And now we're in the middle of loving others, right? And so today we're talking about loving others and having the same mind. But I think some of us might be a little hesitant to have the same mind as other people because they think that it might look a little bit like this image. From iRobot. Have you seen this movie? That we all think that maybe if we had the same mind, if we all thought the same way, that we end up all looking the same way. And I'm sorry, because you don't all want to end up looking like me, and I know it. All right. But I assure you, this is not what the Christian message is, and this is not what Paul is having to tell us this morning. It's not that we want to end up looking like replicas of robots or all like Ryan Granucci's. So, this morning, I want to start with saying, why is Paul so concerned about the mind? Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and the church in Rome has just experienced extreme hardship. What happened to them was that the Jews and the Jewish Christians had been kicked out of Rome. They had been exiled from Rome. And so at this time, when he's writing the letter, they're returning back to Rome. But what's happening is that they're experiencing conflict within the church because you have different groups of people now in the church. You have people that now look differently than each other, that think differently from each other, and they're all arguing about how do we become the best Christians that we can be. They have a different vision in mind. And so Paul, this theme of the mind continues to repeat itself because how we think influences the way we act. And we find that in Romans 12:2, which you're probably familiar with, is that do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Paul's saying that the way we think has a direct, explicit, a straight influence in how we act. Because if we change the way we think and we unite around the way we think, we would all act in the same way. We would all act in God's will. We would know what God's will is and we would be able to live it. How does Paul demonstrate this in his own life? Years after writing this letter to Rome, Paul is forced to go to Rome himself because he's imprisoned because for his beliefs. His life is on the line. He's fighting for his life at this point for his beliefs because the church, the Jews, and everyone wants to kill him because he's saying something that is different. And so he's here in Rome and he's defending himself. And so he comes before the Jewish leaders to plead his case, to plead for his life. And they want to know what he has to say. They want to know what his vision is. So in Acts 28, through verses 23 to 24, it says, The Jewish leaders, arranged to meet Paul on a certain day. And they came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed them from morning till evening. Can you imagine just having to listen to me preach for the whole day? From like, if you really woke up when the sun got up this morning, because I didn't. And then listening until the sun set. The whole day, Paul is talking about something, okay? And then we're going to get to it. This is really important because he spends the whole day talking about this. So what he does is that he spends the whole day talking to them. Ooh, where are my notes in here? He witnessed them from morning to evening, and it continues, explaining, one, the kingdom of God, and two, the law of Moses from the prophets, and he tried to persuade them about Jesus. One, the kingdom of God, and two, Jesus. Paul spent the entire day talking about these two things to plead for his life. If he was going to go out in any way, he was going to talk about these two really important things. Paul's vision is in line with Jesus' response to the Pharisees when they ask him what the greatest commandment is, which is our theme. Is that they, in Matthew, they come and they ask him, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." As Paul used the law and the prophets to explain to the Jewish leaders about Jesus, these two commandments hang on the law and the prophets. It's all about loving God, and it's all about loving others, which I would refer to as kingdom work. Going back to Paul in Rome, we find out that he was successful, that he wasn't put to death, and that he continued to stay in Rome. So in verse 30 it says, "For 2 whole years Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He, one, proclaimed the kingdom of God, and two, taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." Paul's thinking was his vision. And his vision and his thinking was all about the kingdom of God and about Jesus. He used that, his vision, to lead how he lived. Paul's vision carried his mission. I believe that Paul is asking the Roman church to unite around a collective vision of the kingdom of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as our mind is transformed, we are able to bring God's mission of his kingdom to earth. And we get a glimpse of what the kingdom is like in Revelation as it describes the new earth. That the new earth, that God's kingdom is a place where he dwells with us and that where he eternally reigns. Where there's no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain. And I think this is why Jesus practiced healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing lepers, casting out demons, and setting the oppressed free. Because Jesus was living the kingdom lifestyle. So what does a shared vision of the kingdom mindset look like? Well, for me, I just moved. I just moved on Monday night at 12 midnight. I finished moving my last things into my house. I just moved to Glendora, which is closer to my campus in Azusa Pacific University. And so before I moved, I was living at a place, and I was okay with being there. But then some of my seminary friends approached me, and they said, well, we're interested in getting a separate place of our own. Would you be interested? I was like, yeah, they're really great guys. I'd love to live with them. And they said, well, we have one thing that we need to tell you first, is that we have a vision for what our house is going to be like. I'm like, okay, tell me what this house is going to be like. Okay, you might be thinking they're college students, a lot of parties. No. This is seminary students. And so we're thinking, they told me that our vision for the house would that it would be a place where people can gather in community, where people could dive into spiritual conversations, where people could pray for each other, where we could have worship nights and Bible studies. And I was like, yes, this sounds amazing. And so I'm in. And so we've called our house the D House, short for the Discipleship House, so that hopefully our house is a place where we can not only facilitate and grow our own avenues for becoming more like Jesus, but that our house can be a place where we can do that for others as well. How else could this look like for us? On a very deep and personal level, my family has experienced this from the church. That as my mom battles against cancer and as she goes through chemotherapy, that you, the church, have been a huge support to us. That as your prayer and support, that, you know, I come home sometimes and there's food there that some of you have provided. There's tons of flowers on the table, and that you've given your time for us. I've been able to experience that you, the church, have provided what it looks like to be part of the kingdom for my family. That as there's pain in my family, that as there's hurt in my family, that you've been able to support us, to come alongside us during this time. And I hope that my family is not alone in receiving such a large outpouring of what God's love is. Because there's so many of us around us, even in our church, and our coworkers, our friends, that are experiencing similar things, where they're experiencing hardship and difficulty, and they are desperate for the church to start acting as it should, where we can start bringing hope, healing, restoration, and freedom and love to others. Our real-life application for living out the kingdom and declaring the lordship of Jesus Christ is vital to our faith. As Jesus demonstrated and demonstrates to us relentless, unceasing, and unending love, we are to gather around the shared love for the world. So as we interact with the world around us, I believe that we've come to a place where we must critically and carefully evaluate our stance. Because what's going on right now with politics is this huge sensitive subject. And I'm not even going to go there. But I think that for us and for each of us individually, we need to carefully and critically evaluate our stances and saying, where does the kingdom mindset fit in? How does Jesus fit in to our political system? How does expanding the kingdom, how does bringing love, restoration, freedom, healing to others, how does this fit into our political system? And we need to look at our own individual stance. And I'm here and I'm saying that I'm doing that. And I'm looking at where I stand before I put my vote in. Because I want to know that what I'm voting for is backing up what the kingdom is going to represent and what Jesus represents. And I hope through this that we are able to create a space that is conducive to bringing the kingdom and the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. So church, may we have the same mindset. May we be united around a shared vision of the kingdom and the good news of Jesus Christ. And may our shared vision lead to united mission for God's love to be made manifest here in this world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you don't call us to be replicas of each other, that you've made us individually and unique and gifted in our own ways. Father, may we collectively as church come around the shared vision of your kingdom, of Jesus, and your love for us. May we come around this vision and may we be able to show the world of your love. May we be able to bring healing, restoration, and freedom to the people around us. May you give us eyes to see the needs around us. May we take hold of those moments. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.